Hi, I'm David Gristwood from Microsoft, and I'm here in London, in the very heart and soul of home here, and I'm with Richard Edwards from Media Science. Now, they've been doing some very interesting stuff with the Windows Azure platform and with data. So, Richard, thanks very much. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about what you've actually been building.
Yeah, sure. So, Media Science has, I think, a pretty simple premise, and that is that we think marketers need a better way to manage data. And why do we need a better way to manage data? Well, frankly, there's so much of it. A lot of people talk about big data, you know, walls of data, and flying around billions of rows of data. And of course, it's not about data, it's about insight that you draw out of the data. And that's really the challenge. With the advent of digital marketing, there is, you know, more data today than there's ever been, and it's increasing day by day. So what have we done with Media Science? Well, from February, we've been building, really. So I came in, there was a legacy platform in place, really effective and powerful platform, but not something that we could really just release out into the wild and deliver as a self-serve solution, if you like. So we rescoped the platform, we thought about the infrastructure requirements, the hosting requirements, and that eventually led us to Azure. One of the first things I did with Phil, the CTO, who will meet shortly, was talk about our hosting requirements. So we made a decision very early around cloud, just for reasons of scalability, for cost management, and also we just don't want to manage boxes or even make huge upfront significant commitments around boxes that we may or may not need and carry that overhead in the business. So there were some really compelling reasons for us to go with a cloud solution.
Hi, so I'm with Phil Harvey. Now, as you heard, Phil was tasked with going out and looking at cloud platforms and looking how they could sort of try to match on their requirements to a platform. So Phil, can you start by telling us a little bit about what you actually did and how you ended up here?
Sure. Before we made the decision, we had to work out whether we were going to host things internally or push them out externally or go into the cloud. And there was a large number of different options available to us. Historically, I've worked on in-house bits of kit and servers and done my infrastructure stuff as well. So my first port of call when I was asked to look at this was go out to look at sort of managed hosting and that sort of infrastructure, sort of buying infrastructure out on the internet somewhere. So I went up and talked to those guys, and that comes in quite expensive, particularly. So then we moved over and started looking at the sort of the cloud solutions around sort of the Amazon solution and those things particularly. And when you're looking at Microsoft tooling and Microsoft products themselves, it can again get quite expensive. And it can also mean you're having to look at particular infrastructure yourself again. So then I went over to look at Azure. And on Azure, all the infrastructure is taken care of for you. You get a Microsoft platform to build on, and the cost works out very reasonably. So that's one of the main reasons that we made the decision, was the fact that I no longer have to worry about the machines and where they're sitting and what they're doing. All I have to worry about is getting the right code in the right place to get the job done.
All the Azure components sit in this little layer here. In our architectural approach to it has been trying to take advantage of as many of the features as we can. And that includes both blob storage, SQL Azure, and the various worker role capabilities of Azure as well. So our users, a typical user is a marketeer or someone who works in advertising, will interact with our platform in one of two ways, mainly. One flow is by uploading information directly onto our portal. That information can come in a bewildering variety of flavors and shapes and formats. The other way is by sending email directly into our platform. In both those cases, the Azure work roles play a critical role in making sure that that information is picked up and processed efficiently. The work role for us plays a crucial role in the whole Media Science platform. It's got three main roles. One is to process the data that comes from the user. It digests all the different formats that we are capable of dealing with, and then pushes that data back to them so they can interact within the platform. The worker role also downloads email. The user can communicate with the platform by email as well. So we use a POP3 client, which was kindly provided to us by our friends down at Microsoft MTC, to pull email off the server and into our platform. The third route is the harvesting of data from the web, essentially. By harvesting, we mean connecting to an API and downloading information that's useful to our clients, and storing that alongside the information that they provided and the information that's coming via the email route. Our main data store is SQL Server. And the model we work with here, both out of consideration for the privacy and the security of our users' information, we use what we call a tenanted database solution. So each of our clients has their own standalone web database, which is only accessible to them. So their information is fully protected in that sense. There can be no overlap, simply because, well, A, because SQL Server does not permit cross-database communication, and also because it's very tightly managed in terms of access. I'll very briefly talk you through the flow of data from our marketing type over here, that is machine, right down to their own tenanted database. So our user uploads a file, which is picked up by our web role, which, as I mentioned earlier, is running MVC3. The web role then writes to a blob. The blob, in this case, is kind of used as a signal for the worker role to pick up some information. The blob will also contain the actual contents of the file. The worker role, which is sitting in a waiting loop, will detect that there's some work to do from the blob. It'll pick that up, and then it'll go through a set of steps to decompose that information into useful bits, which can then be easily related to the user. The worker role then writes that to the client's own, to the client's own tenanted database. And then finally, to complete the loop, the client can then pull out the information in the form of what we call data signals through the web role again onto the screen. So that's really the main flow of information.
Right, so on the worker roles themselves, we have a particular pipeline set up. So the idea here is that the worker roles themselves, there can be as many of these as we need to handle the load of data that's going through. So Azure will allow us to create a new worker role. I think it's about 15 minutes or less at the moment for a particular role to go live. So within that, we have the main loop that was talked about earlier. And this talks to a sort of main task batch database, which contains all the information about what needs to be processed and passed through. So in that pipeline, it's all kicked off with these data sources on the side. Some of these are push and some of these are pull. And when I say that, what I mean is that with pull sources, we go out and get it. So this might be a web scrape, it might be an API or something like that. With a push, that's something like email, where it's being sent through to us or it's being pushed through the web interface as an upload or something like that. The whole idea is to get all of that data and to extract something from it. Now, what we're actually looking for in media science, we deal with time series data particularly. So that's finding values that change over time from these many different places. So we're not looking at geographic data, we're looking at, say, the number of people who bought shoes through a website, for example. So all of that, we've got to send it through something to store in each of these tenant databases particularly. So the way that we've done that using Azure is we wanted to make sure that we could scale to handle big data in various forms. Our initial target is to handle wide data, which is as many of these sources as possible. But we realise some of that data comes in very large forms. So it could be from an ad server such as Atlas that belongs to Microsoft. They will send us sort of a gig of text a day that we need to deal with particularly. So we need to break that down. We need to reduce it. We need to find those time series that we're actually interested in. And the way to do that is a very large number of small, tiny steps any one of those can be handled by any number of worker roles. They're completely independent, so if we wanted to have multiple worker roles work on the same file, we'd split out bits of that file and let other worker roles go and work on those. Or it could be just one worker role handles one file at one time. It's very flexible in that form. This can also allow us to jump out to other services. So, for example, if we needed to use another service, so, for example, the POP3 server was mentioned earlier, or if another partner was able to provide us another source of data, another piece of processing, we can use one of these small steps to jump out to them, and then to go and check for things that are being done as well. This all ends up with one final step, which is the upload. And this takes the information about where that data came from and pushes it into that tenant database. Now, what we did with that tenant is we took advantage of the hierarchy ID within a SQL server. And what this allows us to do is, instead of storing the time series in some sort of tabular queue form, it allows us to store it in a tree structure. Now, this is a bit different from what a lot of other people might do in that way. The reason for that is because we're looking for context and data signals. So we want as many of these signals to be as comparable as possible. And so whether it is, I don't know if you can see this, but I'll point anyway, but the leaf nodes of that tree need to be comparable to the root or any particular other branch, even when this data is very wide and comes from a very large number of different sources. So when we're doing that and when we're storing it as a tree, what we end up with is what we like to talk about as a knowledge base of a particular type series. The end goal of all of this is to take advantage of things like F-sharp and the possibilities enabled with functional programming to give us, at the end, a knowledge base with context and rules that builds into an expert system. Because while our users, they like the fact that we draw in all of this data for them so they can see the performance of their marketing activity, what we want to be able to tell them is where to look. So if we can compare all the different time series, we can say, hang on a minute, have you noticed that the famous example is, of course, weather and ice cream sales? You know, it was hot on that day, we could see the spike in sun, and we can see the spike in your ice cream sales. And even though you might be looking at something in the winter, we can say, hang on a minute, did you realise it was really hot that last weekend? And point the users in that direction. So with all of this, there's tremendous value to our users in gathering the data for them and just giving it to them in one place. But where we want to get to is that consistent knowledge base of time series and statistical facts to be able to help our users go to the right places in their data. One of the interesting things that we found was, because we were at the start migrating and re-engineering an existing system, we had legacy code in VB.NET, we had C# in terms of building out the MVC3 work we're doing, and we also wanted to start using F# because we understood the power of the language for writing parsers and mathematical functions. And the great thing about Azure is we can use all three. We can pick up the legacy code and just use it. We can push it onto Azure, which is great. We can also write new stuff in C#, and we can get things written, we can buy in modules we need to, we can go out to Codeplex and get things that other people have written open source and join that community. But also we can build out functionality that uses F# and VB together, because the two things just work for us. You get everything lined up, put it in Azure, and it just does exactly what it does for you on the machine as you had in the development environment. This means we can leverage a whole different set of skills from people who know how to write VB modules just because that's what they've always been writing, through people who have the C# experience in MVC doing all the tricks with Razor and things like that, through to talking to mathematicians in a more functional language that they actually understand themselves.